Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the Real Women of Vacation Rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today with Vered Schwartz, who is the president and COO of Guesty. Vered, it's so good to see you again.
It is fantastic to see both of you, as always.
We just got to see you a few months ago in Nashville for the women's conference in Durham. It was so great. And I know we got to run into you in the hallways at Verma. Your country's had a really rough, had a rough year. And it was just so nice to just me. I'm a hugger. Just see you in person and just touch you in the flesh and know that you were safe and you were okay. So how are you doing?
I'm well. Guesty's well. And we're all doing just fine. It's been a good year. It's been a stressful year as well. Yeah, we've encountered some things that we're not used to, like, some people went on military reserve. It was, there was anxiety and all that. But again, overall, fortunately, everyone's safe. And we do have 16 offices around the world. So we all work together and support each other, which is wonderful.
Wow. And you're based in Tel Aviv?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am.
Eventually, someday, we'll get over there.
Yeah, we had a lot of people come to Guestival, which was in Tel Aviv last year. It was fantastic.
Is that the conference that you do for Guesty each year?
Yeah. Annual conference.
We're waiting to find out where the conferences will be for this year. So looking forward to that. But why don't we recap? So we had you on the show, about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. It's been a while, right?
Almost to the date. I just looked it up today. Yeah.
But a lot has happened for you. A lot has happened for both Alex and I. But why don't we just, there might be some people that don't know you. And why don't you a little bit about you and your journey to where you are with Guesty.
Sure. So I've been with Guesty for 5.5 years now. So joined a company when we were 80 people, and now we're over 700 people in 16 countries.
Wow.
And already did $280 million in funding. So that was quite exciting as well. And it's been amazing to see the company grow and develop and release new products and features and enter new markets. So it's been an amazing journey so far. And Guesty is actually my fifth tech company. So prior to that, I was the COO of Fiverr, a marketplace for digital services. Also took it all the way from 40 people when I joined to hundreds of people and going public when I left it for Guesty. And three companies before that. So did a lot of the growing and scaling companies, taking them public, selling companies, buying companies. But I really love even looking into the organizations and figuring out the strategy, not only of the company and product growth, but also the organization maturity and growth and scalability, which is something I really love digging into and thinking about.
You've done a lot.
Yeah, a lot for sure. When we spoke 2 years ago, we asked you a little bit more about your career with Fiverr, which was interesting. And we commented how we had just really learned about Fiverr at that point because we used Fiverr to get the intro song for the podcast recorded. And just how much remote work has changed the landscape for, the workplace and, people across the world. But, especially with Guesty, most of your, even though you have 16 offices, I'm sure a lot of your employees are remote. So, how has that continued to change, in this evolution of managing those people and how has that changed over the years?
So it's interesting. It's completely different than what it was pre-COVID days, right? I still think that there's a value to face-to-face, right? I couldn't hug Annie and you, for example, over a podcast, right? But we could do it in Nashville. So we still try to visit and have events and really see and feel our team and be there for them. But we have learned to work remote. We have learned to do a lot of things digitally. We have learned to utilize video in different ways and cross collaboration in different ways. And I think what we've learned over COVID and we still use today is that it actually kind of levels the playing field, if you know what I mean. Because I don't know if you've ever been to a situation where you're in a meeting over Zoom and there are a bunch of people sitting around a meeting room table and talking and drinking their coffee and eating their cookies and talking amongst themselves. And you have to say, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm up here. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're all in those, you know, little squares talking to each other. We're all actually have the same exposure to the rest of the team on the conversation. So in a way, I think it made us collaborate better around the world, especially when you have people in remote locations. They don't feel as remote because everyone's remote all of a sudden. And we did move back to the office in several locations, mostly the hybrid mode. So we didn't move anywhere to 5 days a week in the office. We do usually 2 days or 3 days a week in the office. And I think that balance really works well for us. It allows people to have those interactions and collaborations and meetings in the office and just have a beer together and you know, enjoy each other's company. But they also have that focus time at home where they can, and people really know how to manage their time and use that time for like writing and developing new ideas and doing things that they should be doing on their own, or of course communicating with people on Zoom around the world and really utilizing that office time for collaboration. And it works really well for us, and I haven't seen a drop in productivity. I think the satisfaction is actually going up. And people manage to balance their work and their life in better ways than before. So I'm really happy with this new approach. I think it's here to stay.
Yeah, that's. I think the hybrid approach makes a lot of sense for companies that are able to do that. You know, it's like being home by yourself or wherever your home office is. It does give you that freedom of, you know, it's a little bit quieter typically than being in an office setting, but knowing that you're going to be in person with somebody in a couple of days, there's some conversations that you might want to wait to have when you are in person. And I think strategy type things where you need that space of, you know, we don't just have an hour Zoom. We can sit here for as long as we need to and talk this out, whiteboard it out. I think there's a lot of value to that. So the hybrid approach is great. I also, in my experience this year in getting to know more of your team, have seen, you know, you guys have taken, I would say, a little bit of a different approach to how you interact with your clients, and that you do it by market. So the market manager is very involved on a, you know, both in the sales side, but then in the implementation, and they're truly like there as their, you know, success manager, their forward. I think that's really an interesting way to do it. And it makes a lot of sense because I know personally, I don't like when I, you know, buy a service and I love the salesperson, but then they leave and I never see them again, you know, and now I've got an entry level person who's helping me and they can't deliver on the things that the salesperson said. But I feel like that approach has got to have led to higher customer satisfaction.
Definitely. And I think that the challenge at Guestia, and what also makes it really interesting, is that we serve so many types and sizes of companies, right? We have customers with 1, 2, or 3 properties. We have customers with 10 and 20 properties, and we have customers with hundreds or thousands of properties. And not only that, we have them in different geographies, right? Around the world. We have them in Australia. We have them in the US. We have them in Europe. And even in terms of their persona, they're not all the same. So if you think of the people that have been doing this for 50 years, and then the young tech savvy ones that have just started their business in the last couple of years, they're completely different. They look for different things. They want a different onboarding experience. They want a different interaction with their tech vendors even. So I think we really learned to tailor our approach to those different customers and different personas to give each customer the level of service and level of interaction they need and they want, which was challenging. It took us time to really craft it. And I'm really happy with where we are now. And I think the customers are feeling it.
It's one thing I love about you guys is you're always innovating and you're iterating on things and you're really trying to think of like new ways that you can approach the business. So to your point, you know, you're looking at what the personas and what they want and what their desires are for their business. And you guys have added a lot of different tools and things within sort of the Guesty portfolio. I'm really interested because the one that I'm learning more about is the StaySense, the Amplify StaySense that's working with a lot of the DMOs and CVBs. And Alex and I both in our markets where we live, Panama City Beach and Myrtle Beach, we did a lot of work in both of our organizations there. And so we have a fondness for assisting the CVBs and the Chambers of Commerce and all of those DMOs. And so I was curious how you came to that technology and why you felt like that was a good decision for Guesty to add that component.
So it started with the acquisition of StaySense, led by, of course, David Angotti.
We're big fan girls over here.
Big fans, yeah.
Everyone's a fan of David. Come on, I know that. So came back, started off with the localized OTA approach that he came with, like the SmokyMountains.com and so on. And just brainstorming and innovating around it, we found that there's a real need for those organizations that they have the need, they have the right audience, and they don't have the right technology to innovate and do it in a scalable way.
Right.
And we said, hey, actually what we're doing here for SmokyMountains.com, we can do exactly the same for them with some iterations, of course. Actually required a little more iteration than we thought originally. Once you start interviewing the potential customer, you understand that, oh, they also need this and they need that.
Yeah.
But we thought it's a huge market. There's a need. No one did it before. No one offered them a tool that really meets those needs. And then at the end of the day, everything connects, right? Because they're connecting to the property managers in their local communities, and those local communities get to know us as well. And hopefully there'll be additional synergies as we go along, which we really believe in.
Yeah, absolutely. When the destination wins, all the people that are part of it win too. And that's definitely something that I've seen in my experience here in the Myrtle Beach market that, you know, this is a very competitive market, but I think all of us got on board many years ago. It started way before even, you know, my generation of leaders, but they realized, you know, for all of us to market individually is an expensive thing. And the more that we can co-op and pool resources, and back in Myrtle Beach, it actually started as Golf Holiday, which that was the local coalition of golf packagers and the golf courses that got together. And that really just fueled that sense of innovation between these businesses and the destination that previously could have looked at each other as direct competition. And at the end of the day, we're all competing, but on a larger scale, we're competing against other destinations. I mean, people don't always have to come back to Myrtle Beach or Panama City Beach or the Smokies. In fact, all three of those compete against each other. So what can we do as an area to really elevate what that experience is for the guest, and how is that communicated to them and the marketing? And it just, it creates much more of a sense of community and place, I think, in the business sense. And we've certainly seen the benefits of that. So we're excited to continue to watch what StaySense does. And I think it's a great investment that you made in bringing them on board for this.
If you think about it, it's just like our entire community. Yeah, we compete with each other. I'm talking about the hosts, of course, but we have common causes. We want to advocate for our industry and for local experiences and for more business to our communities. And I think it all ties together. The advocacy efforts, the DMOs that we just mentioned, having the local government bodies advocate for us as well and give them the tools to do that. I think it all really works well together in where we want this industry to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we wanted to get your thoughts on the Women's Summit that we were all just at. That was yet again, another amazing conference, but also wonderful to see you speak. And just wanted to get your thoughts on what your experience was and why that conference is so different, because I think we can talk about it, but it's always great to have somebody else that kind of put ideas through and see their take on it, of just why that's such a special event.
Yeah, and people don't get it. You know, I told, there were several members that came to the Women's Summit after I told them at Vermont, you have to come. And they said, why do we have to? feel like, what's so special?
experience it
to understand. And it sounds so lame, but there's really something about the focus of it. I think there's more focus on personal growth and learning how to advance as a person, not just as an entity. So it's not just about, although there were like the content was very professional, it was a lot about managing your property management business, et cetera. But a lot of it was about how you grow as a manager, as a leader, as an entrepreneur. How do you communicate and collaborate with other people in your industry? And I think that because it was more limited and because we're all women, something about the transparency is always different there, about the willingness. I think all in all, we're really a very supportive industry, even men. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It is a supportive industry in general, with some exceptions, but generally, but still with the Women's Summit, you felt a sense of commitment to really be there for each other and help each other. Yeah. And I have always believed in female mentorship and networking and being there to help each other, because if we don't help each other, who will, right? Mm-hmm. We can't just complain about how difficult it was for us when we were young and then not step up to help our sisters when they need a break in their future career. So I think there was just something about that willingness of everybody to be there for each other, to assist, to support. But I even seen competitors talk to each other and compare notes and find ways to work together. Even some of our competitors, you know, some of them are my best friends after the last couple of women's summits, because we're all people. We've all made, great development in our career. We have things to share, and some things that you can share about leadership and strategy are, you know, you can share it with your competitors and you can still both benefit from it, right? So mm-hmm. It's just a different approach, and just coming and learning about revenue management and marketing. It's really about how to develop as a person in a business. That's the way I felt about it.
And I think that, you know, just conferences in general, it doesn't necessarily have to be the women's conference, but I think there is definitely an interest in bringing more of that content to the forefront in any of these, because at the end of the day, if you are not doing well internally, you're not going to be a good revenue manager or marketing director or general manager or any position. And, you know, I think the health of all of us, our mental, physical health, is a very important part of the success of the businesses we represent. And, you know, some of our most popular and most downloaded episodes have been ones that are really not about vacation rentals at all, that they're more about that side of things. And it's just interesting to see, because there just typically is not a lot of that content that's shared. And, you know, I seek that information out, but for people that don't necessarily know where to go, the conferences typically are not the place to, you know, feel that motivation and inspiration to lean into professional growth. But I'm hoping to see more of that. I think that should be almost its own track of, you know, personal development and, you know, just getting in the right mindset.
I agree. And sometimes you're not even aware of how much you can help others with things that you feel are obvious. Had that a few times in my career where people came for me for advice, and I said, oh, it's just the basic stuff of doing 1, 2, 3. And they said, wow, you changed my life. You really opened my mind now. And I said, oh, that was so simple. And to just share that with someone that is, you know, 10 or 20 years younger than you and just haven't gone through that journey yet and haven't, you know, made those milestones and decisions that I've just been through. So it's just easy to give, you know.
The one thing that we've talked about about the women's conference is that safe space to be able to share challenges, questions, fears that I think sometimes as women we're coached to like put those aside. They don't have a place in business, but they're realities. Like we struggle as moms, we struggle as wives, like we struggle trying to have it all. And I think that sometimes just being able to know that you can go and say like, I'm just struggling, and have that safe space to have, you know, to get feedback or to get advice or to even just just be. I think that that is so important for everybody to find a place to be themselves and not feel that they have to always be on stage, so to speak, or they're trying to be something maybe that they're not, to fit into a mold and find their path and their space. And the Women's Conference for me has just been so heartwarming to be able to, to your point also, you share things that you think are no one else is going through or no one else has gone through. And all of a sudden you find that like 10 of the 12 people sitting around you have experienced the same or worse or better, all of it to share it, to make each other better. And everybody wants to walk away. And I think the energy, it was interesting because we talked to several people about how it went from the Women's Conference immediately over to DARM. And so everybody was in the ballroom, and like you walked out of the ballroom and all of a sudden there was like all these men, and it was like, where did they come from? And it just completely shifted the whole vibe, not in a bad way, but it was just like, there was this really strange space that we were a great space that we were in. And then it just completely changed like abruptly. And it was like, oh, wait a minute, how do we navigate through this? And it flowed great and it was wonderful. I just feel like maybe it would be better served the other way, do DARM first and like send the guys home and then like let the ladies enjoy the rest of the week.
Let me take off my boots and
right.
Yeah.
Take off my armor and be vulnerable. Yeah.
Exactly. Not in a bad way, though.
But I have to give it again to Amy. She always throws the best conferences ever and just makes it all feel so special. Yeah, you're right. I think it is the fact that we can be more vulnerable. We can, be more transparent. We don't feel like we have to prove anything to anyone, and makes the dialogue different.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing notice too, or for myself at least, is all these conferences, especially when they're far enough apart, like the Women's Conference, that it was 2 years since we went to the last one, but it becomes kind of like an introspective journey. If I remembered this year where I was and what I was thinking 2 years ago, and it's like, God, that I feel like a different person now than I was then. And it's a good reminder. But I also have learned too that a lot of the things that you hear from somebody at one point in your life are going to hit you differently at a different point in your life based on things, the experiences that you've had. And there are some things that, Amber Hurdle always talks about, pulling your seat fully up to the table and making your voice heard and not, always voicing your opinions in meetings. And I always believed that and felt that. And I think I've had experiences now that I understand why that can be hard for a lot of women. And in those moments that I've experienced that, I think back on when I thought that I could always do that, and it's like, it's kind of like a reality check of we're all constantly evolving, and things that maybe we thought before we had under our tool belt that can change depending on your environment and circumstances. So having, these events is a good way to just really kind of process some of those things mentally and share that with other people of, we're all human at the end of the day, and we're all sensitive and we're all trying to grow and be better versions of ourselves. But that also takes a lot of different evolution in the process.
Yeah. So on that, I think it's a good segue, evolution. So going back to Guestees, some more evolution, some things that you guys have added. You announced some new things today that we wanted to kind of dive into. And you've got the Guestee per host. It's Guestee Lite. Is that correct? Am I saying it right? And then also you've got some AI tools I'm still on the fence about. It kind of freaks me out, but I'm willing to listen. But tell us about all the new things that you guys have going on.
Sure. So first of all, we just announced Guestee Lite, which is a new solution, a new package within the Guestee platform for a host of 1 to 3 properties mostly. So I'd say it's very similar in terms of the look and feel and tools to Guestee Pro that we all know and love, but it's really tailored to a smaller user that has more basic needs and wants to start off and really focus on automations and ease of use and just be more effective and productive with their time. But it features the great tools of Guestee Pro, like the Guestee Inbox, and direct integrations to Airbnb and Booking and Vrbo, and the marketplace tools of all our partners, and payment solutions, and so on and so forth. So it really gives you a very robust solution, but tailored for the host with just a few properties. And it's very easy to scale since you're already on the Guesty Pro platform to just scale up as soon as you grow. So now you've been really successful. You grew to 10 listings. You want more robust solutions. You have different accounting needs. You want to connect to more channels. You want to have a more lucrative revenue management strategy. You can just upgrade by a click of a button to Guesty Pro, and then hopefully to Guesty Enterprise, all the way up to thousands of listings. But I really believe that this makes our solution even more holistic than before, because it's all just the same familiar tools and look and feel and the same customer experience, which makes it very, very easy and productive. So that's one thing that we're really proud of. It was a lot of work. And we still have Guesty for Host. We didn't, it's still there. We didn't sunset it or anything, but we wanted to have this bundle that really allows you to move seamlessly throughout the Guesty journey as you grow. And I think a lot of customers will just find it the right fit for them. And in terms of AI, I was on the fence on that for a long time. I'm not an early on anything, I must say. But as time goes by, you really understand that it just makes you so much more effective and productive. And and also the technology has advanced to, you know, do just amazing things. And I don't get me even started on everything we're seeing in the world about it. But what we've done is, and we already have some plugins and integrations with partners on our marketplace, but we really wanted to build an AI tool that is native to the Guesty platform. So our own data science team has developed the we call it the Guesty Reply AI, that is integrated within our inbox and just gives you the suggested responses to all guest inquiries. And we've got in the pilot stage to 98% correct responses, which is crazy. You know, it's really an amazing fit. So we already have those responses in multiple languages, and it's based on your history. So once you plug it in or switch it on, it just reads your entire history. So already knows your response style and the type of language you usually used and the types of responses you've used for your guests before. So it sounds and looks very natural and very you. When you start to use it. And we are going to enhance it some more with mood sensing and additional, you know, tools and variations that will allow you to do more with it. And just currently you have to just click to have the response, but it will just respond automatically at a later stage. And it saves so many hours in the day for you. It just allows you to even reduce headcount or not hire. And of course, sleepful nights and not respond in the middle of the night. So we're a big believer in the AI ability to really allow us to communicate better. And the next phase is also for marketing purposes and other purposes. And I think we'll all have to adapt, and not a very long time from now, because that's the future. That's where people are going. That I think you're already reading more in more AI than you think.
Yeah.
So many people are using it. So many of even our employees just makes, just saying, it saves me so many hours in the day, because even if you just use it for the basic text and then you still, you know, you
have to put your spin on it.
Put your flavor in it.
Right? For your article, for your email, for your contract, for whatever. I think we'll see more and more usage of it. And I don't think it will, you know, a lot of people are scared. Oh my God, will bots rule the world and we will not have anything to do? So no, I just think it makes our employees, our teams smarter, more effective, more productive, and they can focus on the things that matter, right? You still need live interactions with people. Guests still want to feel you, but use it for the right things, not to just answer random questions in the middle of the night.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's about utilizing the time of your reservation staff or whoever it is that's answering these questions. But I think it also increases the level of professionalism for these property managers. That I know one thing that we always struggled with when I was at Condo World was, you can have somebody that is excellent on the phone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're great at typing out responses. And so we got a lot of chats on our website and very high volume of chats. And this is pre-AI. So we had built out multiple different templates to answers that we know we were regularly getting. And that helped. But, it's like a lot of that still, that's now AI has taken that over. If you actually, for some of those basic questions, you really don't need a person operating that. I mean, they can be more focused to taking the phone reservations or working with properties or whatever it is that the business's case may be. But I think it's going to level up the professionalization and how we all appear in our communication, which is definitely a good thing. It needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I think it moves beyond the basic bot, which is something that we've all seen for a while, to really making you better, responding better and more thoroughly and giving the full answer to your guest rather than just and saving time while we're at it. But the idea is not just to give those bot answers that, are like, then that's not what I wanted to know, right?
Right.
You could really adjust the tone and make the guest feel actually more welcomed, more pampered by responding with the right and full response to the guest. So it's not just like moving them to a robot. Giving them more information in a better way with all the images that you need to attach and whatever it is that you need to give them the full holistic response for what they're looking to see.
Attention property owners and hosts. If you want to keep those 5-star cleanliness ratings soaring and your guests smiling, listen up. Introducing Turno, your ultimate solution for simplifying and automating the entire cleaning management process. Say goodbye to the hassle and hello to high quality, timely turnovers that guarantee those top-rated guest reviews.
With Turno, you can automatically schedule, manage, and pay your short-term rental cleaners, ensuring a seamless and efficient operation.
And here's the best part. Turno's cleaner marketplace boasts over 55,000 vetted short-term rental cleaning pros ready to elevate your property management game.
Turno lets you manage cleaner performance with features like auto-scheduling synced directly to your booking calendar, auto-payments, photo checklists, problem reporting, and even inventory management.
But that's not all. Keep your cleaner communications organized with centralized chat and photo sharing, all in one convenient place. Plus, they've made on-the-go management a breeze with separate mobile apps tailored for both hosts and cleaners. And just in case you need a lifeline, Turno's live 24/7 customer support is always at your service. Because at Turno, they're not just a platform, they're your partner in success.
And there's a special treat for the listeners of the Alex and Annie podcast. When you try Turno and its cleaner marketplace, you'll receive a $150 Amazon gift card exclusively as our thank you to you.
So here's how it works. New users can sign up at turno.com/AlexNannyPodcast. Search for a cleaner in your area, connect with one or more, and then complete a marketplace cleaning. Once you see how easy and simple cleaning management can be, you'll love how much time and money you save, not to mention no more cleaning headaches. Now back to the show.
Where else do you see AI making an impact in our industry? Because, the way that I've looked at it for this past year, for sure, is definitely on the messaging side. We could see an immediate impact that'll have. But where else do we go from here now? I've heard people talk about how AI is going to be able to simplify even PMS changes and different things of that nature more operationally. But what are your thoughts on the future for it?
Yeah. So first of all, in development, we've already made use of certain AI tools. So you can just, again, make even software iterations and onboardings and all those parts better. Training and education, of course. You have a lot of tools now to just make you a better teacher or a better instructor and just allow you to automatically go through a lot of materials in a way that it's not just reading, but really getting through tutorials that are tailored for your needs. In terms of marketing, of course, there are a lot of tools that allow you to personalize your messaging and your communications and the message you want to carry across in better ways to different audiences and even target them better. And even with revenue management, all the, you know, all the tools out there, the dynamic pricing tools, actually use AI for certain adaptions and learning the trends in our industry. So there are actually more uses of it that are actually out there already that sometimes we're not even aware of.
So I something I thought of when you were talking about all of this, because I think like the AI is going to be very impactful for the people that are going to use Guesty Lite, because those are people that they might be trying to scale slowly, but they're not going to be able to hire staffing. They're not going to be able to hire copywriters. They're not going to be able to hire these things. So a great tool to have in the system. But I was thinking one thing that Alex and I are pretty passionate about, aside from mentoring, we talk a lot about that, is making sure that people, when they're entering into the business, that they have access to education. And so I was curious for you, like within the Guesty Lite, are you going to have any embedded training modules or anything available to, again, somebody starting out and saying like, I just want to know where to go for information? And I say that Alex and I did a panel a couple of weeks ago, and it was very much on the STR side of the business. So a lot more of like the urban operators, people with just a rental here, a rental there. People had wanting to know all kinds of things, but it was very interactive. And the overarching theme just seemed to be like, people just don't know where to go for that information, how to get educated, where to access it. So do you see Guesty being kind of the Guesty Lite being a conduit to be able to provide and give these operators access to information? And would you see yourself partnering with, you know, maybe like the Vermas or any of these associations that provide education to embed that in there to, again, bring them into the business with the right framework to be successful?
First of all, I'm a big believer in education and really creating that academy for people that want to be in the industry and succeed in it. We already have the Guesty Academy as part of the Guesty website and the Guesty Pro Tools. We give a lot of knowledge and information. We share a lot of videos and a lot of articles, and we're definitely going to enhance that. AI does allow you to scale it much faster. Like, you don't just have to, you know, now you can just write a text and feed it to an avatar and create an amazing new video tutorial without a lot of work and without having to shoot it over again because I forgot the last sentence and shucks, let's do that again.
Right? Yeah.
So right. It's so much easier to create videos now and to create those tutorials and make them more interactive. So definitely we're working on a lot of tools around that. And we'll see more and more of that within our tools.
Yeah, really cool.
Very cool.
Well, that's exciting. I just recently did a demo with Jared last week, so I could see a little bit behind the scenes, because, you know, I will say, you know, certainly being out this year doing market visits, there were more and more people that they're like, oh, I just signed up with Guesty, or I'm going live tomorrow. I'm like, gosh, you guys hit it strong this year, which is super exciting to see. And it was fun to see all the developments that you have. And it seems like your company has also been very open to listening to the feedback of, you know, what needs to be done. You know, there's never, with any PMS, it's always a constantly evolving product, but, you know, listening to the users and building for what is truly needed, but also doing it in a modular fashion where if you don't need everything that Guesty has, why pay for it, right? I think it's very smart to have it that way. And you know, I've heard some people say, not about Guesty, but just in general, that, you know, why would I want to have to, you know, pay for everything I add on? It's like, well, if you don't do it that way, you're paying for it anyways. If you're buying something that it's all included, you're paying all for it. So this actually allows you that flexibility just to bring on the things that you want to use. And as long as you've got a product like Guesty that's, you know, open AI that can talk to other things that they might want to integrate, you know, it's a pretty easy barrier to entry.
Yeah, although I do think that sometimes people are not aware of all the software fees and you know, licenses that they're taking on. And they think, oh, I'm just paying for three vendors. And all of a sudden, if they really check, they pay to 10 different vendors, right? And they have all these add-ons and tools that they don't really consider a part of their PMS or the platform, but they're paying for it separately. So we do try to, even the marketplace approach, working with our wonderful partners, is about just making sure that it's easy and seamless to work and have everything you need in one bundle. And you can, you know, play with those bundles and think if you need everything or part of it, but it should work seamlessly together once you do use it. So again, sometimes you do have to think, do I really need to pay for those three things separately, or can I bundle it and get a better deal if I find them all with the same vendor? But we really believe in the openness and the innovation of our industry. And by having so many different players and so many different tools, we all learn from each other and try to create the best of breed for our customers and understand that some of them have a need for something more basic and some more robust. We've put a lot and invested in trust accounting, for example, North Carolina certification last fall, which was a big deal for us because, yeah, we know that some customers really need that. But again, some customers don't, and they don't need to really get into that. So sometimes even if you're saying, I want the most like strict accounting rules, great, but do you really need that? Do you understand what it entails? Think about it for a minute before you use something you might not need to use, right? But that's just one example. There are really so many tools out there and so many ways for us to improve ourselves and improve our business.
Yeah. I think one other thing I noticed this year too, a lot of companies, if they're in that mode that they're looking to switch software, in a lot of cases, it's a service issue that they don't feel like they're getting the service and support that they want, but also that they don't even really realize all the capabilities of the system that they have. And so sometimes it's the grass is greener on the other side, approach. But how do you guys make sure that your customers are utilizing all the things that they can to prevent that from happening?
That's a really good question. First of all, we don't always succeed, right?
It's about the
onboarding process to really invest and first of all, understand the client's need, assure that they get exposure to all the tools they can use, get the education sessions. And then sometimes don't need to start with everything. You need to start with the system settings, see that everything's working for you. And then we continue to talk to our customers and introduce certain add-ons and enhancements that they can use and explain how that would save them money, increase occupancy, increase guest satisfaction. Sometimes you don't want or you can't digest everything at once, but we really care about our customer relations and have those continuous talks to them about, and more education within the Guesty Academy and within the tools that we provide our customers to really allow them to study and understand how they can improve their business through the use of technology in different ways. I'm sure that some of our customers don't utilize everything they can for their business still. And it's our job to help them get there.
Yeah, I think it's the communication. Once they get, it's a lot all at first when you integrate with any software. So it's like, From the get-go, it's a lot to take everything in. But as long as that kind of continuous communication and bringing in the different things they haven't utilized yet, that's just one, it shows that you're committed to still being their partner as they go through this evolution with the software, but also, keeps them up to date with new things that you bring on board too that wasn't part of it when they first signed up. So sounds like you guys have a good approach to it.
Yeah, I mean, we do see our customers really growing with us. And that, to me, is the sign of our success and their success and the fact that we're helping them get there. The amount of time I heard from customers saying, I would never get here without Guesty. And that's what makes me so proud. Like, customers started with 5 listings, right? Yeah. And now they have 300 listings or even 2,000 listings. We have customers that started with us that small and grew to over 1,000 listings. And to me, we feel like we are a true partner for them throughout their journey and enable their success by giving them the tools and even the business, advice and just even giving them the benchmarks and what we've learned from other customers and even connecting our customers in joint relationships so they can help each other, creating that community for our customers to really learn from each other and grow. I think that carries a lot in terms of what they eventually accomplish. Of course, they're great and they're hard workers and they're innovators and they're doing wonderful things, but really giving them all the tools and exposures to, sometimes to things they weren't even aware of in terms of, you know, how to implement revenue management strategies and how to diversify their marketing channels to increase occupancy, and how to communicate with their customers and retain them in different ways. All these are things that you learn throughout your journey with us, hopefully.
I wanted to have you look forward to the future and see what you think the year is going to look like. And I asked that with, there's been a lot of prognostication, if you will, about the consolidation of technology, more consolidation within the management companies. What are you seeing and what do you think the year is going to end up looking like for everybody?
So definitely, I continue to believe in consolidation in the industry. We've seen quite a lot of that in tech and within the host community. I think there's really a question of a generation coming and going, and I see more and more of, you know, the older generation of property managers thinking of, okay, maybe it's time for me to move on, or maybe I'm not really into that like new digital experience that we're seeing around here, and it's time for me to sell my business. So we're seeing some of that. We're seeing some of, you know, the power of consolidation. When you have 2,000 properties, you can do things, you can get, you know, prices that, and you can get deals that you can't get with 200 properties. So there are some advantages of consolidating and being under one big roof for some of them. And some of them just prefer to believe in their lifestyle, their style of business, their style of hosting and guest experience, and would want to continue. And I think there's a place for everyone on the host side. And then on the tech side, we also have witnessed a lot of acquisitions in the past couple of years. And we've also seen a lot of private equity come and acquire some of the companies in our industry. And they're definitely not there to just get into the short-term rental industry and stay there. They're probably going to look to additional ways of consolidating and rolling it over and whatever. So I think we'll definitely see more movement and changes in the industry as a result of that. And more consolidations that make sense, because especially when times are a little more rough, a lot of the small tech players just cannot survive without additional funding. It's difficult to get funding at the moment. So some of them are just forced to sell, unfortunately. And some of them are just like doing the math and saying, okay, what are my chances to get 10x the valuation I'm getting now after a few more years of hard work? Not that big. Why don't I just sell now? So I think we've seen a lot of people that didn't plan to sell 2 years ago because it was hype, and yeah, I'm going to have a $1 billion company, all of a sudden get in touch with reality, I must say, and say, okay, I really need to start thinking as a business, and where do I see my business growing to in the next 5 years? And what is the alternative of selling now, getting some money to start a new venture or just to join forces and be in a safer space compared to where I am as a small tech startup that doesn't know if they have future a year from now. So for all those reasons, we'll see consolidation, and also because it makes sense. It doesn't make sense for our industry to have 1,000 different tiny tools, many of them competing with each other on the same audience that also in some cases are pretty niche. So the entire total addressable market is not that big. So just in terms of like the PMS, yeah, we have a total addressable market of tens of billions of dollars. All right. Mm-hmm. There's a place for a few of us there, I must say. But if you go to all the niche solutions for, you know, smart home automation or locks or, you know, I don't want to name any, you know, specific industry, but you get my drift. Yeah. So let's say their total addressable market is just a few hundreds of millions of dollars. It doesn't make sense. They'll have to consolidate and, you know, attack that audience together in a more focused way. It just doesn't make sense for them to continue under.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, the consolidation is a good thing. I remember on your episode 2 years ago, you talked about how, you know, Guesty was really trying to stay in their lane of like, this is what we're good at. And we're going to continue to iterate on the PMS, but we're not going to go out and build locks and all these different things that aren't really part of our skill set. But I mean, you partner with those companies and it makes sense to, if consolidations happen, maybe it happens on that type of a relationship, but you know, there's, like you said, the addressable market is different depending on which sector that you're actually in. And gosh, when you go back to VRMA in New Orleans, I guess it was San Antonio, I think, post-COVID,
yeah.
There were so many vendors there that had never been part of the ecosystem before. And I remember Simon Lehman walking around with Annie and I, and he said, take a good look around, girls, because come next year, the year after, most of them won't be here. And there are a lot that are not around anymore. But it's going to be an interesting year, both for the property managers and for the tech companies to see how things go. But you know, at the end of the day, you've got to have great tools that are supporting you, and making those decisions is a very important thing for the good times and the bad times.
Yeah. And I mean, there's also a lot of consolidation for the right reasons, because you want to be an industry leader, because you want to have the economies of scale, and just makes it easier when you're bigger. And you know what? It also makes a better product and a better service for your client. The bigger you are, the more you can, you know, give back to your clients, to the product innovation. You can't do that when you're in survival mode and just, you know, trying to find the next customer and, you know, work on the next bug. So I think it's the natural maturity of any industry, I guess. And we'll see it at our industry as well.
Yeah. It's nice to see companies like yours and leaders like you lighting the way for everybody to go down the right path, to share and again, provide tools for people to be successful, whether they're just starting out or they're an enterprise company that's been around for years. And I think everything that you guys have done, you've done methodically and you've done with intention and you've done from listening to your customers. And that's just so important.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing you, Vered, this year on the show circuit. I'm sure we will get to see you here soon, and certainly all the team from Guesty, but wishing all of you the best of luck this year. In the meantime, if anybody wants to reach out to talk to you or learn more about Guesty, what is the best way for them to contact you?
They can contact me on LinkedIn, and they can reach out to me through Guesty.com, the contact information, and I'll be sure to reach out back to each and every one of you.
Okay, great. We'll include that in the show notes. And if anybody wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for tuning in, everybody.